For December the 8th, 2017, we talk about the Mega Man 30th anniversary announcements, new Danganronpa V3, and we ask you if games have introduced you to any other hobbies. Welcome to Level 222. My name is Cole Ross.
My name's Dave Minesmith.
I'm Jella Prendez.
Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. I posted about this on Twitter, but because this is the current events kind of show, I want to let you guys share in this. Hear that?
Did you just punch something?
No.
Hole punch something?
That
cocking a gun?
That
do you have home invaders?
Pretty close. No. I was going through some of my old stuff, box of old stuff from my parents' house.
Yeah,
and I found my NES Zapper, and it is my favorite sound in the entire world. That is me hunting ducks and also going up and down Hogan's Alley.
Do you have a copy of Duck Hunt handy?
No, and it won't run on a modern television either, because that requires a CRT. Yeah. So, no, and this one even, I think for a Halloween costume, I cut the cord off of it, which was probably dumb, but it means I can just have it by my desk.
Okay, I was actually about to ask, was your childhood like mine in that it was a toy even when not connected to the game?
Oh, absolutely. I felt like a future warrior, because I would take the cord and I would like shove it down the side of my pants, so that way it was like I had a power pack that was shooting lasers out of it.
Yep.
Don't laugh.
That's great, because I have one of those.
About this.
It's hilarious because, you know, I grew up with an NES and I totally did none of those things. Oh, well.
I don't know. It might have been a regional thing.
I don't know. Trend. Oh, although all the listeners will come out and defend you guys, and I'll be like the weird one over there that there's only like two people that are on my side of things.
Oh,
but anyway,
yeah,
it's okay.
But no, this makes me feel good. It is. I'm not going to do that for the rest of the show. But it.
Please don't. You're going to make my eye twitch.
No,
I mean, do it.
It is. It is over here on the other side of the desk. I shall continue fidgeting with my Hollow Knight plush.
Nice.
but yeah, that has been a thing that has made me feel good. How's everybody doing?
Well, I have a follow-up for last week's pre-roll. Chris, whom I killed with a table at the beginning of last episode, was overjoyed almost beyond belief. So, like, if anybody thought I was just doing that, like, no, like, he and I talk a lot, and he was very happy to be murdered by a table. So,
and
there's
he is
that.
Now on to the letter, right?
Yeah, which was recommended by another listener. So, yeah, it's cool. Yay. By Greg. But anyway, also, I've been attempting to get better internet. That was mentioned last episode. Well, the cable guy came out and took 5.5 hours to install to the wrong building.
What?
So I'm still on Wi-Fi, but it's better Wi-Fi. A tech is supposed the people in the wellness channel in Slack heard all about this wonderful incident when it was happening. Like, I had such a headache and it jacked up my long run, and now I'm like stressed out about my coming race, because I'm like, I didn't even get my last long run in, and like things have been like crazy at work. So yeah, it's been bad. But anyway, a tech is theoretically coming out again this week to theoretically fix the problem. So hopefully, unless I get another tech like that guy, I should be hardwired next week.
Yeah.
So my internet, my connection, my whatever should be better this episode, but even better in the time to come once this is
fixed. I mean, you've got to get the waifu to fix the Wi-Fi, right? That's how that works?
I think that's how anime works, yeah.
I would facepalm, but
so is this a situation where it's like lesson learned? It's a little bit like you hear those urban legends about people who go in for like knee surgery and they operate on the wrong knee, stuff like that, you know. And so like there's that old wives' tale about like, you know, make sure you like put an arrow pointing at the actual, because like a left and right error is a total thing. I have no idea. Like, did they send it to a shed?
No, my office is a building in the backyard. Now, when I was talking to him, I told him at the very beginning, I need my, you know, office hardwired. I need my computer in there hardwired because I work from home. I do everything on the computer. The house is going to be on Wi-Fi. And I was asking him about like what he thought the best solution would be to, you know, get the Wi-Fi boosted, like, you know, a Wi-Fi signal booster type thing. Like, you know, does he know a particular brand or whatever? And I guess he took like, and then for a while, like the way that he responded had me thinking that he was going to he said he was going to splice the cable and have it installed to my building and then also to the house. Mm-hmm. And then that's not what happened.
Oh, he put it to the house and that's it.
He just put it in the house and that was all that he did. And it took him 5.5 hours. It was like 9:30 at night. And my dad had to help him to do it because he didn't even know how to actually install it to the house. And then he put the cable and then the cable itself was not running up into the eaves the way it's supposed to run, like when you have a cable on the side of the house. He just put it straight across the side of the building. And it was like 9 o'clock at night and everybody else had gone to bed. I was just up and I was just like, you know, inside the house, and I wasn't messing with it because I'm like, okay, this guy should know what he's doing. Also, uh-huh. It's dark. Also, there's mosquitoes and things because Texas. I'm not going to be standing out there, you know, watching this guy, you know, for 5.5 hours. And then, like, you know, the next day I go out there and I'm like, what the hell did he do? And so then I had to call and you know, like the customer service people are very nice. And
oh,
they
of course,
were like,
yeah.
You know, they're, oh, sorry, whatever. We'll totally get that fixed. Whatever. You're not going to get charged. They will come out and, you know, take care of it, fix it, get it the way you want it. But like, boy, oh boy. So
yeah.
It's real.
Yeah, that sounds exasperating. There we go.
Well, it's exacerbating too because it's exacerbating my other issues with work. But yes. You know, anyway.
Yeah. No, I have a similar customer service woe where I took my car in to the insurance company for to get that mold taken care of from when my AC broke. And it took them a week to tell me they're not going to cover it.
Aw.
Yeah. So it's just been, you know, I am not one upping you. I am yes anding you and saying. I am 100% in the mood to hear stories of like bad or misguided service right now.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna give you any shit, Cole. It's fine.
Yeah.
So high five, sure, right? Shitty customer service issues.
High five. Yeah. No, I just want to be cognizant of not being like, oh, your day is bad. How about my day? Like, no, that's not the way I want to be.
What about everybody else? Exciting news.
Uh-huh. I'm now gainfully employed.
Woo-hoo!
Yay!
That's good.
Yeah, it was touch and go there for a minute.
Yeah, no longer a hobo.
I mean, you had a hobo. You had a roof above your head.
True.
Yeah.
You're a boho now.
Bohemian.
Boho?
Oh.
Yeah. It's been a while since I heard that abbreviation, but I think I'm correct. How about you, Ben?
Everything's been pretty good. I've got some Magic news today, and I played some Magic over the weekend, so yeah.
How long have you been doing that? Like, it seems like you've fallen into it pretty hard, pretty fast.
It's, it'll be about a year and a half, I think. A year to a year and a half, so something like that.
Great. Yeah.
Did we have the conversation how weird it is to me that, like, when I was younger, Magic was, like, ooh, sinister and more panicky? And then, like, in college, pretty much all the people I knew that were, like, involved in the Christian ministry I went to, like, were super into Magic.
I think things lose their stigma over time. I also think that we grew up closer to the satanic panic than it is now.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and then people realize, like, oh, this is just a fun game you play with numbers and colors. Yep. I don't know if you wanted the actual answer to that.
No, I'm just saying, like, it's just weird to me.
Yeah. That's funny. Oh, I was going through a box of my old stuff, and I found this.
Okay.
Sorry, I just know that I can get a reaction of Jala out of it now. It's like if I... So it's that, and then I could also read poetry to just, like, steer her direction.
In the other direction,
it's,
right?
It's approximately 15 trigger pulls per table.
Oh, that's pretty funny. Cool.
Truly a what is it, a elegant weapon for a more civilized age or whatever.
A pitiless, a merciless killing machine, just like me.
That checks out.
Yeah. Sure.
So are we gonna tell the listeners what it is?
He did.
Did you say it?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I did at the start.
Actually, I don't think you did.
Yeah.
Yes,
he
did.
Yeah, I did. It's my NES zapper.
Yeah.
Okay. I heard it on the pre-roll. I did not hear it the second time, so apologies.
Am I taking crazy pills? Yes. Cool. Well, we've got the usual kind of show for you, the brief, the multiplayer, and the grind. And why don't we get started with
the brief
where we can talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us. Sorry, I'm tripping over my words there. I'm going to lead with mine because it's short and it's inconsequential, and I also think it's very clever.
Okay.
We've been doing some serious stuff recently, having some debates on some topics, so it makes a little bit of sense to lay it out light this time. So people like to watch Ultimate Fighting Championship events on pay-per-view, right? It's like a big thing. You get together, you order some pizzas, you watch some people hug on the ground. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're expensive.
Checks out.
And they're expensive, and you have to get a bunch of people together to make it cost effective, etc. There's one Twitch streamer who did something that I think is actually kind of amazing in terms of its audacity and cleverness, even if he did eventually caught, because obviously. So a Twitch streamer whose name is AJ Lester said, "Hey, I'm not just going to watch this thing. Why don't I get the UFC primetime event, route it through I guess it was Max Holloway and Jose Aldo, if people want to know specifically which fight that was, because people remember those after a long time. He routed the video into his capture card from his PC, and then he set the Twitch game being played display to show the beta for UFC 3. And he put himself on camera holding up an Xbox One game or an Xbox One controller, had his normal, kind of overlay on it, and was pressing buttons and making sounds and talking like he was playing the game. When in reality, he was just rebroadcasting the pay-per-view.
That's amazing.
I know, right? So the videos are down and you can't really you can't really go find them anymore. Maybe they're out there somewhere, but it was I mean it's obviously just footage of an actual event, but he's selling it like he's twiddling the sticks and he's talking about, "Oh man, I can't believe he did this. I was trying to blah blah blah."
I don't know, like, technically, couldn't you argue that's getting pretty close to fair use?
I don't know. It looks like he hasn't gotten into like a whole lot of trouble. It was pulled from his video on demand, but like I don't know that there was like a straight up copyright strike or anything.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's just one of those like, "Oh, you magnificent bastard" kind of things.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a victim somewhere down the line, like the UFC corporation. I have no idea how they run their stuff, so who knows if that's like a Schadenfreude kind of thing, but it's just very funny.
Shady.
Okay, yeah, I figured.
Well,
they make
extremely
money out of
arguably shady.
I mean, they make a lot of money off of people beating the shit out of each other.
Yeah, the two things I know of is, one, they've basically bought up all their competitors, and also they have rules where if you fight in UFC, you can't be involved with any other promotion, which is kind of reasonable. But they, for example, they fined one of their big fighters when basically one of his students fought at a semi-pro or amateur promotion, and like he was the guy's wingman or something. It's like,
what?
Come on, guys.
Yeah. Like, I know the president of UFC or the founder or whatever, like, spoke at the RNC in 2016, but like, I don't know if that reflects on the entire thing. That's bullshit. Yeah. And then this is more funny than it is like a serious.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No, I'm sorry. Yeah. That was a total tangent. This is hilarious.
Yeah. And I don't know that, like, I don't know if there's a discussion that can happen off the back of this. So it's actually a bad grind. I like the idea of, like, ahead of like a series finale or a series premiere or season premiere for like a really popular television show, like making up a couple of just text cards and things like that, like as a telltale game. So like the last big show that I watched was like Breaking Bad. So like just after a certain moment, you press a button, it'll say Jesse will remember this. Yeah. So that's my story. And I figured that would that would brighten people's days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jala, how about you?
Yeah, so during Capcom's 30th anniversary Twitch livestream event for Mega Man, they revealed that Mega Man 11 will be coming to Switch, PS4, Xbox One, and PC in late 2018. Now, there was a glut of Mega Man games in there, and eventually I stopped paying attention to them. I played at least a little bit of the original series and most of the X series. I played Mega Man Battle Network, the first one, and Mega Man Zero, the first one. But there was also the whole Star Force series that I barely even paid attention to. I saw some artwork from it, and that's about as far as I went with that. Mm-hmm. But Mega Man 11, though, I would be excited to play. Graphically, it looks like Mighty No. 9. It's 2.5D with 3D modeled characters and hand-drawn environments. Russian roll comeback. It looks, just from the little bit that I've seen, like a really just like an updated Mega Man game. Mm-hmm. The Legacy Collection and Legacy Collection 2, which have all of the old games, will be coming to Switch in the spring, and it will also have the Rewind feature. And the Rewind feature will be patched into the PS4, Xbox One, and PC versions for those that already own those in spring at the same time. And the Mega Man X series is going to be coming to Switch next summer.
Hell
so
yeah.
More reasons for me to want to Switch. Damn it.
I am so excited about the X games coming to Switch. Yeah, the X games, you know, sponsored by Vans. Yeah, the Mega Man X games coming to Switch. It is, if you don't have like a regular Wii hooked up, it is very hard to play those in a convenient fashion. So I am, that's going to own bones.
And to have it on a portable system, that would be like, yay, you know, for me. I like that type of a game on portable too. But then again, that's not a surprise. I like pretty much everything on a portable system these days.
Portable's great. So. Yeah. That Rewind feature makes a huge difference. That was included in the Capcom Disney collection that they did for like DuckTales and DuckTales 2, etc. It's actually really nice.
What's the Rewind feature?
I think like Braid.
Sands of Time.
Yeah, Braid, Sands of Time. So like if you mess up, you can press a button that'll, you know, take you back a certain amount of time before you mess up. Basically, it just like records your play.
Yeah, that's cool.
And lets you get around kind of how bullshit hard some of those games can be.
Now I'm just waiting for that in Dark Souls.
Good luck.
Surprised that's not a mod.
Yeah.
Probably a little too hard. I forget, Jal. Did you play Mighty No. 9? I know you played and enjoyed.
I played a little bit about it, but I wasn't like I didn't. I played a couple of levels when it was in beta, and I have it downloaded on my computer. But then by the time I thought about it again, because you know I lose everything in my Steam library. Like I open it up and I lose complete sense of purpose, and I don't know what I'm doing anymore.
Yeah, it's like walking into like when you walk into a new room, you forget what you were gonna do. Except
what
with that
going on? I opened up Steam, but what was I going to play? By the time I actually got back to the point where I'm like, oh yeah, I should probably go back and play that game, right about then is when a bunch of people were like, oh, it's okay, it's not that great, and I just never went back to play it. I still have it installed, like I have it installed to go play it, but I haven't gotten the urge to go do it because, you know, I didn't hear a lot of super exciting replies about it, you know, so.
I had never realized how bad it looked until actually I was following up on some of these articles.
Yeah, that was a whole big meme, was that it, you know, got all that money and took all that time and ended up looking not that great.
Yeah.
And you were in, is this related at all to Azure Strike or Gunvolt?
There is a Mighty Gunvolt, isn't there?
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I'm mixing up like five different similar things, I think.
I don't know. But there is a Mighty Gunvolt game as well, and I have that, and I was told that that one was better than Mighty Number 9. But again, like, I open up my Steam library, and the M's are pretty far down, and they're, like, in the middle. You know, the chances of me stopping. The chance that I make it that far, or that I don't just scroll through and my eyes are glazed over by the time I see the M's, like, you know, like, I refocus somewhere around R. You know,
so just a small isolated bit of maybe snark or cynicism, like, isn't Mega Man kind of Capcom's equivalent of Sonic by this point? Like, is the character still relevant?
They haven't, like, trotted him out as much as Sega has. There has been just kind of like a real dearth. Like recently, in like the past 5 years, there's been
nothing. Yeah, there was a Mega Man 10 in 2010, and then like I don't think there has been anything since then. Or if there was, it was just real short.
There was a little bit of saturation off of those spinoffs, like Jala said, the Battle Network and the Star Strike or whatever those were, and like that wasn't helped by the fact that they also had like a Pokemon release cycle with it, where they had two different versions of the same game released alongside. But like actual mainline Mega Man games haven't been as like saturated and flogged into the ground as these have been. And like Mega Man 9 and Mega Man 10 were kind of Shovel Knight before Shovel Knight was a thing.
Sure.
Insofar as they were, you know, extremely retro remakes that looked and played more like you remembered the games playing than they actually did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kind of like Cuphead before there was Cuphead.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm excited. Capcom has been kind of, I don't know, releasing a bunch of versions of Street Fighter that I don't care about recently. And this is good news.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neat. Ben, how about you?
Yeah. I got a little bit of a like magic update, which, sorry if that might be boring or whatever. They announced the name of the next set that's coming out in January. They released like sets and blocks of two, or they have like a base set and an expansion, and their last set was called Ixalan, which is like kind of like a pirate like island exploring theme game, which I think I talked about like maybe 6 months ago or so. The next set is called Rivals of Ixalan, a very creative name, where just an expansion on that. That part, kind of interesting, but not too interesting. They've just released some of the card information for it. The news story I want to talk about regarding Magic, though, is there's another set that's coming out this week that they do every so often. It's called an Unstable series, where it's basically a series of cards that like break the game. So these are kind
of
like
the old Unhinged series or whatever. Yeah.
So they've released these every so often where it's always, all of them start with the word un, and it's usually something, but basically none of these cards are legal in tournaments at all. They're just cards for fun. So for example, some of them are like, destroy this card, rip it up into pieces, throw it in the air. If any of those pieces land on your opponent's cards, then they immediately die, or something like that. It's just cards that just like break the game completely. So I was just going to share a couple of the cards real quick and see if if any of that humor translates. There's one card, I'll drop it in the Slack. It's called Rules Lawyer. And basically what it does is no state-based effects affect you anymore. So you can have zero life or below and you don't lose the game. The creatures you can control can have no life or less and you don't lose the game. Things like that. There's one creature called Infinity Elemental, where he just has infinite power. So for those who don't know Magic, basically you control creatures. There's you play spells that like augment whatever the things that you control. But the basic part of the game is you have these things that you control and you swing them at your opponent and they do damage to them. And so usually you have a power and a toughness, so like you attack and a defense. And so this one creature has an infinite attack. So anything that it hits, it'll just immediately kill. And the last one I want to share, this is kind of interesting. There's this card called Urza Academy Headmaster. It's a disembodied head And this is like similar to a Planeswalker, which is a type of card. Don't worry about it. But the way the card works is you have to go on to a website called askurza.com and click a button, and it'll tell you what the card does. And so otherwise, it's like a mystery.
So it's like it's just a randomizer.
Yeah.
Within something that is already kind of random.
Yeah. So I don't know. These look really delightful. So I'm probably going to be playing some of these in the next like week or two. So I'm excited about that. But
so to give you an idea, since it's not out yet, going to the website and clicking the thing tells you Urza is powering up. Check back December 8th.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So in 3 days, the set will come out, and then that will apparently do stuff. So
this is really great. Like, this seems like the trading card equivalent of like when Jones Soda does their Thanksgiving flavors, and there's like, oh, here's a gravy flavored soda. Like, yeah. It's not really meant for consumption or for sharing or anything, but like, it's fun that it exists.
Yeah. Yeah. One thing that's awesome too, is it actually better teaches you the rules of Magic, because it's breaking all of the rules of Magic. So yeah.
Yeah.
Seen enough fantasy, read enough Lovecraft to know that breaking the rules of Magic never ends well.
I love that the portrait art for the Infinity Elemental is recursive.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the flavor text is, it's so infinite that its flavor text says, it's so infinite that its flavor text says, it's so infinite, and it goes on. So
yeah. No, it's cool. I mean, I'm pretty, you know, I've said a couple times that when things are designed to be entirely balanced, sometimes that can be pretty boring. It's mm-hmm. nice to see that they're willing to kind of let their hair down and do something really goofy and stupid like this.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, like, are there opportunities to play this? Probably not like a lot in structure play, but like, would you be able to find somebody who would like sit down with you if this was in your deck?
Maybe. So a lot of my coworkers who play a lot, what they're doing is they're ordering like boxes, so it'll be like 36 packs, and so they are individually like holding events with like friends to play through the set and either do a draft or a sealed game. So there's like a lot of that going on. I think if you were just playing like constructed decks with friends, maybe people would allow it, but they break the rules so much that if you wanted to play like a vanilla serious game or whatever, you probably wouldn't want to have any of these cards in the deck. So.
No, you'd want.
Seems like the obvious solution is just don't ask permission.
But I mean, they would also just say like, oh, I didn't know that card was here. I forfeit.
The trick is to make sure that you nail down the legs of the table first.
Especially when playing Jala.
Oh.
No, this is great. Ben, how about you? Or sorry, David, how about you?
Yeah, Ben could go again. Yeah. Well, I feel like we're past Thanksgiving, so is it late enough for us to have some Christmas stories?
Yeah, I think so. It's right around the corner.
So this one's actually kind of a interesting historical you know, most people don't know, but there was actually a time when Santa Claus was kidnapped by the Soviets and forced to develop a Metal Gear that could deliver a nuke to every chimney in the world. And, you know, as you might imagine, you know, Snake was sent in to rescue him. But unfortunately, Rudolph showed that, you know, it's more than just his nose that was red when he sold Snake out to the communists and was immediately captured and sent off to be interrogated using modified version of a technique Santa developed to determine who's been naughty and who's been nice. But luckily, when things look their darkest, you know, Snake was able to use his trusty cardboard box to escape and, you know, infiltrate the facility and save Santa Claus. And to this day, Santa Claus honors Snake's heroism by delivering all of his gifts wrapped in cardboard boxes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that.
I was going to ask if his box was wrapped when he saved him.
I mean, I think we can assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and it's funny because most people, back like in the Depression, it was real exotic to get certain kinds of fruit. So a lot of people in different places would get oranges for Christmas. That's funny, A, because it's true, but B, also because the box is for oranges. It's canonically an orange box.
Yep.
I did that thing again, didn't I?
Stop doing the thing, Cole.
Multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer. Jala, you were the person who asked the question, so why don't you go ahead and tell us what you asked the nice people?
I asked, did a game ever make you want to learn a new skill or take up a new hobby? What was it? And this is via Kyle T. Thank you for the question. I love that Michael Print has asked lots and lots of questions and threw bunches of questions at us, but it was like him for like a month straight. So I was like, somebody else, please suggest something. So if you have any other questions, multiplayer suggestions, feel free to drop them. But thank you, Kyle, for the awesome question. This is a good one. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of people reply.
Yes, it is a banger. So I'm going to get us started here with Brandon, who says, I've been playing a bunch of Fallout 4 recently, and the weapon customization and gunsmithing stuff seems like a whole lot of fun, as I enjoy tinkering and guns. Please don't forward this to the ATF.
So the just as a heads up, something you might check out, the NRA actually has some really cool summer classes that while like some of their tech scores are off in things like checkering and
machining and milling and stuff.
Yeah, like basically like basic gunsmithing, and they have some advanced ones, but they also have some like really basic ones. So I don't know, maybe this is common knowledge. Like checkering is basically just like more or less carving on like the stock of a wooden barrel rifle to like make it have a better grip and be artistic. So it's something that like you could actually do as opposed to like trying to make your own gun or whatever.
Yeah, you can give your you can give your butt a tartan.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds fun. Metalworking seems like it would be difficult but rewarding.
Yeah.
Oh man, I mean, like drawing in pen. Let's see. Ben, what does Angie say?
Angie says, Zork made me want to create text adventures, interactive fiction.
Nice.
Nice. Cool.
Hey.
That's easy to do with other engines and stuff you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. David, what does Juan say?
Juan says, oh yeah, collecting trophies in the first two Super Smash Bros. Games. It's led to my hobby, more of an obsession, of collecting my own trophies in real life. Amiibos, tops, pops, etc. I would feel bad being a 26-year-old man with this hobby, but my fiancé is just the same. We combined our collections, and it's a sight to behold.
And a nightmare to dust.
When your powers combine.
When your account powers combine. Oh no, we need more shelves. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's funny because I think that the segue from Smash Brothers trophies over to Amiibos is like let's just say maliciously smooth.
says the person who started the pre-roll discussing a Hollow Knight plushie, right?
Oh, true, but that was like a gift to myself for my 30th birthday.
True.
Aww.
I'm just holding this guy. I'm squeezing his head.
I know for me, I really want, what's the Adult Swim game, the Cat Slug or whatever? I have no desire to actually play the game, but I kind of want to get one of those plushies.
I've never seen it.
Why not?
Yeah.
You can put it next to Stitch.
Literally like, was it like a Naga is to a person? Imagine that, except cat and slug.
Oh, that's horrifying.
It's actually really, really cute.
I'm sure it is. Let's see. Jala, what does Justin say?
Red Dead Redemption's handful of cattle herding missions blessed me with an obsession over pastoralism. I've read multiple books on shepherding now. It's weird.
Yeah. Should read, cool. It's a book called The Farm by Louis Bromfield. It's a guy who started a really advanced for its time farm in our hometown, David. That's a Malabar farm guy. Yeah, read The Farm.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, if you're looking for it. Media suggestions are always tricky. Yeah, Red Dead Redemption is a very good game for reminding you how just like cute different kinds of animals are, weirdly enough, given that you spend so much time killing them and breaking their spirits.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Sending them to trains.
let's see. Patrick writes, when I first played The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, I became interested in ocarinas for about an hour. That got old pretty quickly. Man, they advertised that same ocarina in the back of Nintendo Power. I think for 15 years after Ocarina of Time came out.
And you know what? Like, I was kind of mad because, like, in the original Lunar and the Sega CD version, Alex plays a lyre, and I was, you know, I wanted to play the lyre, but I didn't have any money to get one because poor. So later on when they made the remake for PS1, he didn't play a lyre anymore. Suddenly he's playing an ocarina, and I'm like, this is some Zelda shit. This is why that's there, is because of Zelda. You know, and I was just mad. I was just generally mad about it.
Hopping on that bandwagon. Yeah. Yeah, I was curious about this too until I listened to one and realized it was just a shitty recorder.
Yeah. That's kind of why I was like, you know, the lyre was so much nicer. Damn it.
Yeah.
Any instrument played well can be amazing, but I just it didn't seem like with my skills the ceiling would have been that high on it, so it didn't feel like worth throwing the time after it.
As opposed to the original Zelda game, which straight up had a recorder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It got rid of ghosts. I think I forget. It's been a while. that was me on Patrick. Yes, it was. Ben, what does Franz say?
Franz says, Spycraft made me practice my English since I really wanted to play it, but had no idea what all the mission briefings or puzzle hints meant. Apart from that, most games make me want to learn to make games, mostly to make a clone of a game I'm playing, but without the stuff that bothers me or with stuff I feel should have been there. Speaking of which, will we ever get a WAF on Spycraft? It's one of the best FMV adventure games ever, and it costs almost nothing on GOG. Cool.
I don't know. Is that a...
Which is Spycraft?
Is that a Sid Meier game?
Huh.
I do not know.
I know Spycraft, the pen and paper thing, is like one of my ones I've wanted to play forever, but...
Yeah, I wasn't aware of this. Spycraft, the great game. Yeah, I'm curious. I'll take a look at it.
That seems kind of presumptuous of a title, though.
Spycraft, you have already bought this. Well, I can't make a box a liar. The Sid Meier game that I'm thinking of is Covert Action, which is the one that I see on sale all the time. Yep, so my answer is a non-committal, I'll look at it. David, what does John say?
John says, been playing a lot of Guilty Gear, a fine game, and I play Venom, a character who fights using pool cue and pool balls. This got me into wanting to play pool quite a bit, and I have, though I'm, unsurprisingly, not as good as Venom.
I assume you can't kill somebody with it. Yeah.
Eh.
I mean, pool balls are really heavy.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I feel like that would probably be sadly not as hard as it should.
Yeah,
I'd be surprised.
we had a pool table at work. Thankfully, that stopped. But so we have a 2-floor office, and they had it on the upper floor on a concrete floor that was above, you know, where like artists and stuff, where people worked, had a lot of kids running around. And so they would pick up, they would reach up, pick up the pool balls to play with them, and then drop them on the concrete floor. And it sounded like hell was breaking into our dimension.
Yeah.
It was like a gunshot. It was so startling every time it happens.
But that's also like, I don't know. I mean, granted. Like, a good quality pool table and, like, pool balls is actually a surprisingly and maybe a little excessively, like, precision thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I believe it, but I think this was, like, somebody's cast-off pool table.
Sure.
I'm just meaning,
like, it would, like, I would probably flip a table, but not a pool table.
I'm recruiting David to my evil side.
If someone was, like, dropping pool balls.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think those were very good, but we tried everything. It was kind of like trying to keep food away from rats until we eventually got rid of the pool table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought maybe like booby trapped them or something.
Hmm. No,
like
no.
We've hollowed out one of these balls and filled it with nitroglycerin, but we won't tell you which one.
That sounds like a Yu-Gi-Oh! Challenge game from like before it became about cards. Anyway.
Yeah. Let's see, David. What does Greg say?
David already read one. It's my turn.
He? Sorry.
Don't Gala tell him that.
Damn it! I'm reading Greg's.
there's a side game. Whoever can read the most wins. So sorry.
Playing skiing by Activision for the 2600 when I was six made me think skiing looked really fun. 2 years later, when we moved to New Hampshire, my school offered during the winter and an after-school ski package to a nearby mountain with transportation and rental fees included 1 day a week. I begged my parents to let me do it, and I found real-life downhill skiing just as much fun. Been skiing every year since.
Aw, that's great.
And when he told me this, because, like, you know, I play games with him all the time, I was just kind of, like, floored. I'm like, you do a physical activity?
Like, whoa!
Seriously, he just chills out. He makes it a point to tell me about when the food trucks come to his work and what kind of bad food he's eating and stuff all the time. Like, I don't know what he's trying to do exactly. So that's why I was like, you have a sport. You do a sport. Oh!
I have to be honest, skiing terrifies me. Like, I did some snowboarding, but, I mean, in that, you basically have armored boots up to your knees and your feet are, like, strapped together, whereas skiing just seems like asking to, like, I don't know, break all your joints and leg bones and stuff.
Yeah, I'm very scared of skiing, actually. But yeah, no,
that seems terrifying.
That's cool that you had that kind of opportunity through your school. I joined the golf team specifically, not so much because I really liked golf or wanted to compete, but it was fun to go hit balls at the driving range. So every practice, it was like, hey, you get as many free buckets of balls as you want. And then I would just suffer through the actual events. Yeah. let's see. Lindsay says, Borderlands 2 made me want to go for the rarest items in the game. I still have two left, the Cobra Sniper Rifle and the Twister Shotgun. I must say I've given up on the Twister since getting it to even have a chance to drop is very hard, and the Cobra has a very slight chance to drop from specific enemies. I have played them since day one, including the DLCs, still haven't got them. So the game became your hobby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Ben, what does Ollie say?
Ollie says, maybe not take up, reignite my interest. I fished as a kid, then lapsed as I grew older and more adventurous. After playing various Zelda games, Ocarina being the first, I started to yearn for the quiet, relaxing pastime. And I started again, and it allowed me to spend some time with my dad, so that was nice.
Hmm.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'm a little disappointed. This had, like, a little, you know, click here to see the rest of the message. I was really hoping it was going to be ridiculous fishing.
Yeah. No, this is this is a good question. It's brought out a lot of wholesome stuff. This is good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
David, what does...
Oh, I like this one. Yeah. So Mike says, one big part of my workout regime is doing bodyweight exercises, pull-ups, planks, etc. And it's largely due to my desire to be more like Sam Fisher. I'm still working towards being able to do the splits between walls of a narrow hallway, but that's a 2018 goal. I completely awesome. Support this.
Godspeed. Godspeed.
The somewhat similar thing for that is I really like, what's the TV show, Arrow, and really want one of the salmon ladder pull-up things.
I would have to look up what those are.
Oh, yeah, so basically, do you know what, like, a Smith machine is?
No.
Yes.
Right, so basically, it's sort of like a ratchet where, you know, the things are cut in triangles so it can go one way but not the other.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically a pull-up bar on that, so you, like, pull up and propel yourself up to the next ratchet and keep doing that to, like, climb up the machine.
Hmm.
It's basically just pull-ups that looks at least five times as badass.
It's like a combination of pull-up and an elevator.
Yes.
yeah. Jala, what does Russell say?
Russell says, not a video game, but the board game Lords of Vegas caused my friend to handcraft a 3-foot-long craps table.
Oh, that's cool.
Awesome.
That's a good board game too.
I've never played it.
Me either, but sounds cool.
Yeah. Let's go. So we have eight left. I mean, we're close enough to the end. Let's rapid fire these.
Yay!
Yeah.
Okay.
So Chris says, Team Fortress 2's spy made me want to try the butterfly knife flipping. Picked up a cheapo blade in Chinatown and started doing what I saw in the game. A couple years later, and I'm still flipping, and it's one of my favorite hobbies. It's a shame the game didn't stick with me, though. Hmm.
Good luck. Yeah, that's like a hardcore thing. A lot of that, I've done kind of a similar thing, just played with it, but a lot of the people I do martial arts with did a martial arts where like butterfly knives were a thing. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of them are really, really into it. And yeah, they if when you get good, you can do some really badass looking stuff.
Just do some Chuck Norris stuff. Yeah. Congratulations on not severing your tendons, Chris.
Yeah.
I only sever my enemy's tendons.
Ben, what does Sam say?
Sam says, Castlevania Symphony of the Night made me pick up the habit of walking while exaggeratedly pumping my arms and then leaning forward when I change directions. I only do this if I'm pretty sure no one's looking.
That'll blend well with the next game, at least, which also has funny walking. let's see here. David, what does David say?
David says, Westerflow then got me into self-restriction runs and games. I've never been good enough to do things like Dark Souls, Soul Level 1 runs, but since Westerflow then is all strategy, it's been more up my alley. My crowning achievement was a run where I beat the game without spending a single point of XP.
Nice. And that's a short enough game where you can do that.
I'd be interested to know, like, was that then... I wonder if he resolved most of the combat non-violently, because a fair amount of it you can do that, or mm-hmm. you know how you approach that.
I don't know. I'm sure there are guides though. Yeah. Jala, what does Michael say?
Michael says, fighting games encouraged me to look into martial arts. Eventually, my studies led me to yoga, which helped me deal with my poor anger management and allowed me to center myself. Thanks, Primal Rage.
It's the only time where a farting gorilla led somebody to yoga.
I still think he secretly just gets all his aggression out on Warframe.
Probably.
Why not both?
Both.
Yeah. Jonathan writes, games like Bioshock and the Dynasty Warriors series increase my interest in history and philosophy.
Cool.
So I really enjoyed when I first saw this. I didn't quite get that, like, they were probably kind of switched on the interests. I'm like, wait, what was philosophy in Dynasty Warriors?
Chill. Keep chilling.
Ben, what does Brandon say?
Brandon says, longtime listener, first time joining in, so thank welcome. I love archery in games, Elder Scrolls games, Tomb Raider, Dark Souls, and Zelda, so I took up the hobby 5 years ago and have loved every minute. Awesome.
Yeah, I would really like that. I would like to do that. Mm-hmm. I mean, not really, because if I really wanted to, I would definitely do it, but archery's fun. I remember doing it in gym class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Really fucked up my wrist, though, because I couldn't hold it right. let's see. David, what does John say?
John says, my obsession with the production art from Uncharted 2 and the environmental storytelling games like Fallout 3 and New Vegas got me into game asset creation, which led to my undergrad senior thesis project and my first job out of school as an environmental artist for game levels.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, wow, you are way more motivated than I am.
Congratulations. You definitely, you saw a thing and then you did it. And then you did it for money.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jala, round us out with Ethan.
Ethan says, when I was in high school, I had the revelation that nearly every video game character I played as ran everywhere they went. Whether it was Link in Hyrule Field or Mario in 1-1, the player character always had killer cardio skills. At the time, I couldn't even run a mile, which made me feel a little wimpy, so I started a Couch to 5K program with my dad, and I've never looked back. Nowadays, I'm busy training for a marathon this coming March. Jala, or some say Jala-chan, do you hear our prayers? Mm. Grant us thighs! Grant us thighs!
That's a Bloodborne reference.
There you go.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's very cool. And is Ethan involved in the well in the wellness chat?
I do not believe so.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering.
If so, I do not correlate the name to the handle on Slack.
He's too busy running around saving the world like in Zelda and Mario.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you can read this message, thank me.
Yeah. So let's do ours, since we did all of those. Mine's super quick and super obvious. Playing Guitar Hero got me into playing guitar. I was already into singing and stuff like that. Guitar seemed like the best fit. And go back and listen to the Rock Band episode of WAF or whatever. It's fun. I still do it.
I'll piggyback on that and say that playing drums in Rock Band at your house got me to play drums at my house.
Yeah. You had
my roommates had drums.
Yeah, you had there was a full set in your bedroom, right?
At some points in time, yeah.
Yeah.
It got passed around. There was two college drum sets and they were kind of in a rotation at all times. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
David?
Yeah, so I feel like this is sort of the story of my life. I mean, currently my room is surrounded by like a whole bunch of leather working equipment and martial arts supplies. So I feel like definitely those. But in general, I think most of my hobbies are something I thought was badass from a game or movie or TV show.
Nice. Jala, how about you?
Yeah, so in several ways, I think my urge to become stronger and train as hard as I do is mostly triggered by characters that I like in fighting games and RPGs. And also, probably thinking back, my interest in adventuring and going and doing all this random crap that gets me out of my comfort zone was probably triggered by stuff like Pitfall all the way back in the Atari days. Nice. Going and progressing from there into open world games, because movies never did that to me, because you're just watching that. But in a game, you're actively participating and actually being the character. So I was like, well, why the fuck can't I do that? Doesn't matter, the dragons aren't real. I can fucking do some stuff and fuck that thing up. If there was a dragon, I'd fuck it up. That's how that would go. You know, or whatever.
So what's your go-to fighting game character?
Oh, it depends on what fighting game you're talking about. I mean, there's so many different ones. And then I have different moods for different ones. I don't know. Like in Street Fighter, I like Cammy. If you are talking about King of Fighters, I like King. Whatever. Like, it just changes depending upon the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is King the Lionhead one? Or am I thinking of Tekken?
No, you're thinking Tekken.
Okay.
King is a blonde lady who is a Muay Thai fighter who dresses in a tux, because she originally was disguising herself so she could enter a tournament, because it was men only. So she was dressed up as a guy.
Stylish.
Mm-hmm. And she throws roses, and she's a bouncer at a bar, and it's pretty cool. I like her. She's
cool.
Neat.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, this was a good question. Thank you, Kyle.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jala, for posting this. If people want to participate in these in the future, go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. And watch for them to go up on Tuesday afternoons.
The Grind.
Now it is time for The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so, because all of us were here last week. I'll start with mine, because it's real short and I can clear the decks for people. Just more Danganronpa V3. Continues to be good. I continue to really like and find the characters that I get to spend more time with endearing. The cases and the murder situations are still I feel weird saying that, but like, it's an inventive game when it comes to like setting up mysteries for you to solve, and it's pretty good that they're still good at that after three games.
I just like the term murder situation.
Well, you know, it's just kind of just a light murder situation. going on with that, I think I'm just about to find the body in chapter 4 out of 6, if that pegs you to where I'm at. Sorry, that's a spoiler.
6 bodies or 6 chapters?
That would be a spoiler. 6 chapters. Yeah, 6 chapters. Every Danganronpa game has one case where two people die.
Ooh.
Huh.
Yeah, they do follow a little bit of a formula like that. Also, spoiler, everybody somebody dies in every chapter or has so far. That could be a thing they subvert. Yeah.
Yeah, I was, well, no. We're skipping that story.
Okay.
Okay.
So yeah, continuing to do that. It's continued to be kind of like just a comfort food gaming, laying in bed. Yeah. Who wants to go next?
Co-op Corner. I played Guild Wars 2 with my usual crew, Sam, Greg, and Briar. I don't have anything to say about the game, but there was a funny thing that happened, and I need to share it with the world and immortalize Briar's horrible comment. So we were working on the story quest for the first expansion, and in wandering around a new map, we started fighting some big bug monsters that spray goo at you from their tail.
Uh-oh.
And right about this time, we were talking about spraying goo everywhere, and then Greg said something super confident, and I teased him by telling him that he was being cocky, and because usually he's real quiet.
Right.
And then Briar popped off with like the most horrible thing ever that made me laugh my ass off. He said goo cocky because Greg was cocky and we were talking about goo.
No.
And right about the time we were also talking about, you know, the Xenoblade Chronicles thing with the booby lady and also the booby lady from Jurassic Park Trespasser that we were talking about last week. So the whole session was like this. So that was a thing that happened. Adventures with Jalo playing games with people. So
nice.
That's all I have to say about that. It was just a funny thing that happened with a horrible comment that just made me laugh my ass off. So talking about actual games, Labyrinthine Dreams is the next thing that I have played. It is a short narrative focused indie puzzle game for Steam. I do not know if it's anywhere else at this point, but I played it on Steam. And in this game, you play as Beth, who is probably in her mid-20s or so. A tragedy happened to her when she was a little kid, and she's been struggling ever since. So when the game starts, she's on death's door with an illness or something and is reminiscing about her life to date. And the idea of the game is that when you see a maze in your dreams, it's supposed to symbolize feeling trapped, which, you know, of course, this character Beth totally does.
Mm-hmm.
So she's trapped by societal expectations because she's a painter who wants to open an art gallery, but that doesn't pay the bills. She's trapped by college and student loan bills, a dead-end retail job, and then the medical issues causing her hospitalization and dream state. So it has some pretty familiar scenarios, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But also, although some of the parts are really bittersweet and even more so because the text is voice acted, it has an uplifting end to it. So it's not like Depression the Game number 65, because there's so many depressing little indie games.
Uh-huh.
This one is actually not depressing at the end, which is cool. There is a character named Artie who isn't developed quite as much as I might want, but also I don't feel that the game needs to be any longer than it is. It's to the point, but it has like enough exposition and gameplay to it that you feel like you've gotten a good experience without being shortchanged. Maybe if there was more narrative during the puzzle parts or something, that would do it for me. Because basically, you have a narrative bit, and then you have a puzzle, and then you have a narrative bit, and then you have a puzzle, and that's just how the flow of the game is. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's still a nice little game to play in a single sitting. It takes, I don't know, an hour and a half or 2 hours to play through. Really short. So, but I wasn't really expecting a lot when I went into it, because, you know, it just kind of looked like, okay, this is you know, a one-person project maybe, you know, that kind of a thing. And sometimes that can be... Like, when one person's trying to do everything, there's something that they oftentimes fall short on somewhere in there.
Right.
And this one actually is really well produced and a really cute little game. Really nice game that I can relate to. And like I said, it does have like a nice ending to it. So that's cool to not, you know, go into one of these and then be like, oh, God, I'm going to cry. You know, like,
I don't need this.
I don't need this right now. You know, so it's fine.
Yeah. Haven't played it, but it looks like they benefited from kind of keeping the scope of it short or small.
Yeah, for sure. Like, if they had made it any longer, I think it would have been it would start being tedious or too repetitive, but the length that it is just the right length for the story as well as for the puzzles. And the puzzles change in the different type. You know, there's different types of puzzles in there where, like, certain puzzles you can only most of them you can only turn one way. Like, you can turn to the right, you can't turn to the left. or something like that. And then there's also puzzles where every time you move, a demon is following you and it moves two squares for every square you move. So you have to basically trap it so that you can get out, you know, get to the exit square before it can get to you. And so, like, you know, depending upon where you are in the game, you'll have a different type of puzzle to play. So,
yeah,
but it doesn't have like a bunch of mechanics. It's just like, you know, the puzzles have a particular gimmick to them. Like, you don't have the you can only turn right puzzle at the same time as you have the, you know, puzzle with the demon that's following you. Like, they're two separate types of puzzles. So it's not like so hyper crazy that it's impossible to beat or anything like that.
Right.
So you've also got the puzzle where, like, you have to touch every square and then find a way to get to the exit while, you know, touching every single square on the puzzle.
Yeah. It's like an Alexander kind of puzzle. Yeah.
So
exactly one time, I take it, or.
Yeah. One time. And then that square disappears. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so it was a really good game. I'm glad that I did play it, that I chose to play it, and, you know, sat down and got through it. Like I said, it's like a one sitting kind of game, but the voice acting is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an enjoyable experience. I can't say more than that about that.
It's also, so this is Labyrinthine Dreams. It's also really cheap on Steam.
Yeah.
And it's RPG Maker, so it'll run on everything.
Yeah, I think I got it in a bundle. I don't remember. So
I'm positive I have this in a bundle.
Yeah, probably. It was probably a bundle game. But, like, anyway, it's also not very expensive anyway if you want to go take a look at it. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Nice touching game. The last game that I played is Grim Fandango Remastered. And boy, did I have a fuck of a time trying to get this to work.
Yeah, you had like you lost a bunch of progress because it just like hard
multiple times.
At one point.
Oh, God. Multiple times. The Vita port of this game is buggy as fuck. So if anybody wants to play this game who has not, or if they feel like they need to replay it because I mentioned it and they think it's a great game, don't play the Vita port. It's fucking horrible. I was on track to finish it, and then it aired out multiple times and force closed. And the last time was when I was halfway through the final chapter and it aired out while I was saving and corrupted my save file.
Good God.
So that's a fucking shame because, again, I was almost all the way through the game and I was enjoying it. Like, I had actually backtracked and, you know, sped through everything the last several times it aired out on me. But this last time I was like at the very end and then it screwed up my save file and I'm like, nope. I'm going to YouTube. I'm not doing this again. I already did it. I can just watch the last like half hour of this game, you know, like whatever.
Yeah.
So, because my, you know, like I said, because my stress level started going through the roof due to that, how shitty that port was, I was just like, never mind. Moral of the story is don't play the Vita port. So, about the game itself. So if anybody doesn't know what this is, it is an adventure game which was released in 1998 by LucasArts for Windows, and the remastered edition came out in 2015, and I have never played it before. And that's kind of in part because I just missed a large swath of PC games for a long time. I only really started playing PC games in like the mid-aughts. So, I mean, like, I had a few random things before that, but, you know, like Myst or Amber Journeys Beyond or something, but I just did not play this one. It wasn't even in my scope of anything.
Don't say the A word around me because I still get fits. I'm very sad that I wasn't able to stream that entire thing.
That was what I played. I had gotten farther than you were able to get. So that's what's sad because I remember more of that game than you were able to play. Yeah. So well,
Grim Fandango. But anyway. So like if you didn't get it when it like was really readily available, it was difficult to get a hold of and also very inconvenient to get to run and a nightmare to emulate for a long time. So this remaster was a big deal.
Oh, and it apparently really, really is a nice overhaul, except for the fact that the Vita port is buggy as fuck.
It's
don't
nice
play
it
on Vita.
Yeah.
So you in the game, you play as Manny Calavera, who is a travel agent for the recently deceased to help them get to the ninth world, the land of the eternal rest. And he gets involved with a lady named Meche, who was practically a saint during life, to the point that she deserves a first class ticket to the land, you know, like the you know, heaven or whatever. But he can't find it in his system, and he sends her on her way to walk through the land of the dead, which is like, you know, a lot of people lose their sense of purpose when they're wandering in the land of the dead and like never make it. Mm-hmm. So this is a bad thing. And right after this, he ends up exposing a plot by the heads of his agency to deny deserving people their ticket and to sell the tickets to crooks at exorbitant prices. Mm-hmm. So Manny gets involved with the Lost Souls Alliance, which is like, you know, the revolutionaries. And, you know, he ends up chasing after Meche to try to find her and, like, you know, help her get to her destination because she doesn't deserve to wander in the land of the dead and possibly never make it, you know. Mm-hmm. So during the next 4 years, there are all sorts of adventures as he tries to topple the corrupted agency and save Meche and return the tickets to the rightful owners. And the voice acting, the music and the sound design, the graphics and the art direction, all that stuff is stellar.
The main voice actor for Manuel is actually fucking fantastic.
Isn't he? He's great. So, yeah, the imagery is really striking, and oftentimes it's like a really superb choice of camera angles, for example. Like, that's something that's very, very noticeable about this when you're playing
through. It has a real noir kind of feel to it.
Yeah, it's definitely film noir, you know, film noir type vibes, and the music is kind of, you know, similar to that. But, yeah, it was a great game other than my unfortunate problems with it. Yeah. So, yeah, I've been posting screenshots about that throughout the time I was playing up to the point where it just died. And I was just like, all right, I really want to actually see the end of this game. I know it's short. I know I can do this, but like, I am not going to do this again.
Yeah. So. Did the update add any kind of, hinting system?
No.
Okay. Yeah. And you did you have to go to a guide for any of the puzzles as they went along?
I did at some point, just because I was like, okay, I'm already frustrated between the errors I've been having and stuff. So like, right. I did pop into like, a guide every once in a while if I couldn't get to it. But at first I was just like playing it, you know, completely vanilla. And then after the first time that, you know, the thing crashed on me and I've had to waste time getting back there, I was like, okay, this is gonna be one of those instances, isn't it? And then Greg actually recommended that I have a walkthrough in the background somewhere, if you know, just so if I need it, I can take a peek at it. I was like, okay, fine.
That's the biggest complaint, is that there are some unintuitive puzzles, but that's kind of the case for any LucasArts game of that vintage.
Well, I mean, like, you know, you just basically have to jack around with literally everything. And then you're like, really? I need to do what with this stocking?
Come on.
Like, this is ridiculous.
I have to use the balloon to do what?
Yeah.
No, it sounds like you got what was good out of it.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. I had the fun experienced part of it around the frustrations. So, yeah it was a good experience. And you guys had covered it, right? And on WAF a while back?
We've done a handful of LucasArts stuff, mostly the Maniac Mansion things, but we also did Monkey Island as well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Then what was it? I thought there must have been some talk about that game, just like people reminiscing about it or something, because it was something that was like a bug in my ear, and it was because of the network, and I don't remember where I heard it from. So
I made a big deal a few years ago when the remaster came out.
Okay, then that's probably what it was. You were probably rambling about that, and I was like, I should probably look at the thing. And then, like, it just stayed on the back burner for a while until I finally did it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Nice.
But anyway, yeah, it was a good game. I recommend that people play it. It's got a quirky sense of humor, and definitely it's very stylized and fun. It's a fun little game.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil it, but I'm going to. So it's an early puzzle, so forgive me. In one of the first couple scenes, there's a guy who's making balloon animals. You go up to him, and the you know, there's a specific answer that you're looking for, but like in there's a list like, oh, can you make me a dog? Can you make me a giraffe? And one of the answers is, can you make me Robert Frost? And he will make you a balloon animal, Robert Frost. So that was a really early way to for the game to win me over.
nice
cool. And is that all, Jala?
That is all.
Okay. Ben, how about you?
I don't have too much. I've done a lot of multiplayer games over the past week, so I continued playing Friday the 13th with some people. I continued playing Rocket League with some people, and I continued playing Magic Online. So still having fun with all three of those games. Friday the 13th is a little harder to convince people to play. I think a lot of people bounce off of it a lot quicker than I do. So I don't know, but I still enjoy it a lot. So
yeah. What's the average like round length in Friday?
So it has a max length of 20 minutes. If after 20 minutes, if people haven't died or escaped, then it'll just end. And if people are alive, then they win. Most of the times it'll go about like 10 to 15 minutes, I would say.
Yeah.
Yep.
And has your arrangement to kind of do all the voice chat through an offsite Discord end up working for you?
Yeah. So far, so good on that. Yeah, so that's been fine. I don't feel regretful about not interacting with the other people in the game that much because you have like you still have the interaction piece if you have like two or three other people that you're playing the game with. So it doesn't feel like anything's missing, really.
Yeah.
And especially because some people you just insta-mute whenever they're in the lobby because they'll just be like screaming into the room for some reason.
That's regrettable.
Yeah.
Like, but that's screaming because they're about to be like murdered, or
no, just talking real hot into their microphone for some reason. Obviously, they've never done a podcast, so yeah. but I mean, the game made it really easy. You can just click next to the name to mute somebody. So I think they kind of took that into account. So
yeah, I don't know that a multiplayer game without that function would be playable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. And is that all?
Yeah.
Cool. Sorry, guys, this episode might be pretty short. I should have said that after I said mine. I didn't mean to, like, throw it at you.
No. Yeah. It's all good.
David, round us out.
Sure. So, been playing a little bit more of Metal Gear Solid. Finally beat the final, I guess, quiet mission. Which, from what I can tell, is the... final appears to be the final, at least like original mission of the game.
The final like bespoke this is story content kind of mission.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I honestly cannot believe that the second half of the game made it through QA. Like
does any part of it feel like they took time on it?
No. I don't know. I'll be totally honest, like I am really torn on this game. Like I would say I'm honestly like not sure I would even say like this is a decent game. Like
I mean for this is not good criticism, but like for your happiness, it'd be best just to wipe out in your memory anything that happened after Skullface.
Yeah, I guess part of the problem with it, though, is, like, I feel like my whole issue, like, a lot of my... I feel like the core issue is just they don't actually resolve any of the plot points. Like, even... Yeah. This is, I guess, sort of spoilers, but, like, even Skullface, like, basically the revelation you get is that he's basically completely irrelevant.
And it's just up to you to, I mean, yeah, it's up to you to figure out how meaningful that is, because there is a context in which that is meaningful.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it seemed to me like it was just... Like, all that got accomplished was, like, Kaz's psychotic, revenge, strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I never cared about that, and the only result of that was just Kaz getting even more psychotic.
Yeah, Kaz is tough nut to crack, especially when you look at later, too.
Yeah. And I guess it also sort of bothered me that, like, just like the setup of, like, I don't know, like, the whole premise of that's supposed to be, like, oh, you know, the whole, like, demon horn snake thing. And then mm-hmm. it's like, actually, Snake doesn't really do anything particularly questionable throughout the entirety of the game. Like, I saved a crap ton of kids. I yeah. didn't kill a crap ton of guys, and I saved the world like 3 times.
Did okay? So here's my question about whether or not you got the you got to the real end. Did you get to the mission that is a revisit of something you have?
Yeah. So that's why I said original comment. I have not played that mission yet.
Yeah. Do that because that's the real ending.
Okay, and that has. Okay, honestly, like, I was having trouble finding motivation to just because, like, I'm really frustrated with
the
story, but I'll give that a shot to see if it changes things.
It'll at least give you some measure of closure, I think.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So, other than that, Destiny had its new expansion today. So that's the Curse of Osiris, which also marks. The end of quote-unquote season one of Destiny, so a whole bunch of like their loot tables and stuff like that are changing up, and then also they kind of had a patch that was sort of their big, like, you know, changing things up based on feedback patch. I can't really talk that much or speak that much to the like changes they made aspects, just because, you know, I haven't played enough to really be able to see, but I've been playing through some of the new storyline, and it seems like it actually might be pretty cool.
That was the case with the expansions in the last one, right?
That was the case with at least the third expansion. From what I kind of understand, the first two were kind of all right, and then the third one was really when Destiny caught its stride. And then I actually never played the fourth one, so I don't know.
I heard the fourth one was very obvious that they were kind of pedaling their wheels without the chain attached, because everything was gearing up for Destiny 2. That's based
sense.
On hearsay. I have no idea if it's actually true, but that's my reckon on it.
So this one.
I got to watch Dennis play some Destiny last night because he streamed it, and I think my favorite part was he went to the upgrade menu and said, "Let's make some numbers go up," as he joylessly leveled up his character.
As he joylessly shuffled a bunch of cornmeal from a bag into his mouth with a spoon. Yeah. what's kind of the shape of the content in this expansion, though? Like, is it mostly like new story stuff with a raid at the end, or?
So basically in terms of the raid, actually kind of the new thing they're doing is doing a, I guess what they're called, like, raid wings, which is basically like you don't have to play an entire like 6-hour, however, 4-hour, whatever long raid all in one sitting. So that was kind of nice, because like I know the Duck Feed clan kind of had like one or two like really solid cracks at the raid, and then people kind of just weren't, you know, just didn't want to deal with like all of the BS again, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, some people definitely did. I know a number of people like went on and completed it, but you know, they're kind of, I got the idea, some fizzling out. In terms of the actual content, basically it revolves around the Vex, which are their faction that are sort of time-traveling robots, although more of the kind of Bioshock Infinite approach to time travel.
So dimension hoppers, but effectively time travel, yeah.
Yeah, so, and it's sort of, you know, they're sort of a little bit kind of some Lovecraftian things in that, like, it's, you know, kind of explicit that they don't necessarily have to follow, like, rules of causality and stuff like that super, super strictly.
Mm-hmm.
And so the kind of the core thrust of the thing is they have this, have kind of constructed the entire core of Mercury as sort of like a planescape type thing, just like this massive, like, fractal crazy land. And
with like doors to other realms, or
not so much that. I just mean like a thing where it's just like an infinite number of like different you know, possible realities and stuff like that.
Okay.
And so it's and kind of the plot is you're basically trying to, you know, prevent them from, you know, finding a reality that lets them, you know, take over all the things.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, though, it seems like they're really using it as an excuse to have some really cool, like, level design and visual effects. So a lot of super, super abstract, you know, just worlds where like, I don't know, just, you know, like, weird, like, floating islands and stuff as far as the eye can see, and, you know, walking over bridges that inexplicably, you know, open up onto the, you know, entirety of the universe, and just, I don't know, just a whole bunch of weird stuff. So yeah, so that seems cool. It's, they're kind of focusing on the Warlock Vanguard, which is one of the kind of interesting but undeveloped characters, which is cool. Yeah, so far I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
We shall see.
Yeah. I forget, and correct me if I'm wrong, does this have cross-platform play? Like, are you playing it on PS4?
I'm playing it on PS4, but it does not have cross-platform play.
Okay. Yeah.
So, although it's now on pretty much all the modern systems.
Right.
That reminds me, Cole, you can do cross-platform play for Rocket League, but you can only do private matches.
Okay.
Yep.
I desperately want cross-platform play for Warframe.
What else is it on?
I play it on PC, and a lot of the people in Slack play it on PlayStation 4.
Okay.
Yeah. When everybody started talking about Warframe originally, you know, in the Slack where I was seeing it anyway, it was like, oh, what are you playing it on? PS4? Fuck.
Because, well, okay.
You know, I might play it otherwise, but I'm on PC, and yeah.
Have fun, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, that sounds like an episode to me. Do you all want to button it up?
Buttons.
The credit.
Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this level number 222, the last episode number that will be all the same number for 111 more episodes. Am I correct, Ben? Is that
yeah,
right?
No, the math checks out.
Okay, cool. I was really confident about that until I said it, and then
silence. Yeah. Mathematician, yeah.
Yeah, so if you are listening to this the week that it comes out, either on early release or on public, sorry, my microphone's doing something weird, so you're going to hear me like static out. We're toward the end, so I can't fix it right now. consider watching the DuckStream event that we are doing. Go to duckfeed.tv/duckstream. Where you can watch us play games for 48 hours. The first 24 are, are Duck Feed West. And the second 24, Duck Feed East. Come by, hang out in the chats. We are raising money for the Transactive Gender Center out of Portland, Oregon. This is the fourth year that we've done so, and we're looking to blow the roof off once more. Other than that, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. And tell your friends about this show.
Yeah.
Am I forgetting anything?
I just want to double down and say I'm really excited for DuckStream.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll be comatose for half of it, but I'll jump in when I can.
Yeah, but I'll appreciate it when you're there.
Yeah.
So, I've been Cole Ross, at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been David Minesmith, with Zippers.
I'm Jolaton in places.
I'm Ben Merkelette. Merkel will be on Twitch.
And stick around for some titles. Okay, so let's see here. I only have one. It is 15 pulls per flip.
I had 15 pulls per table, but you know, whichever.
Yeah, I like the two the two verbs, but I also forget exactly how it went. So
yeah.
So
go ahead.
I had murder situations.
I had that one. I had murder situation also.
And I had goo cocky.
Ooh.
That's not going to be the title.
to be fair, I feel like if we do it as two words, we can probably get past the censors.
People will still read it out loud in their head. And yeah.
Yeah. So I also have boho hobo. And maliciously smooth.
Sounds like somebody describing a cigarette. Ben?
I just have one. I have a non-committal. I'll look at it.
One second. I think murder situations is a good one to do. That is the most votes. Yeah, let's do it.
I can support that.
Yeah.
I always support murder situations.
David supports a murder situation. You heard it here first.
Somebody's going to isolate that.
No, the story I didn't want to say just because, like, I felt like we didn't need to be, like, more whatever is I was streaming, looking through videos on YouTube, and one of them is, like, this dude, like, precariously cleaning a car wash, like, while it's running, and the thing's just, like, tiled, like, this looks like a scene from Danganronpa. It's like, yeah, I'm gonna skip that video.
it's actually very funny. Somebody I think shared it with me or put it in the Slack, but he gets caught on it and then begins like spinning around while holding on to it because he's afraid to fly off, but he's not spinning fast enough for anything bad to happen, and they just they overlaid the Danganronpa execution music on it.
See, I've seen too many gists of like the ones where it's like, you know, somewhere in China and like some, you know,
no.
machine horribly breaks down and maims someone.
Yeah, it's really sad how careful you have to be on the internet if you don't want to see somebody die.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody.
On that note.
goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Good luck.
I'm gonna go hope that this microphone isn't broken.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah,
bye.
Night, guys.